As I mentioned earlier, there won't be a third service today. That means I can talk as long as I need to. Now, I'm going to miss Bien Torosa because he would time my sermons after each second service. So, Bien, you can turn off the clock now. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for the stories of your word that has so much meaning, that's so full and ripe with lessons to be learned. And may we take them in and digest them, and may they be applicable and helpful for our daily living. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I thought it was amazing that Midori played the song, The Prayer. It was played at our wedding here. If you look on YouTube from Andrew Bocelli and Celine Dion, there are 12 million views. If you look at the one by Josh Groban and Celine Dion, there are over 9 million. Let me share some of the words to that song. I pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go. Help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace to a place where we'll be safe. I pray we'll find your light and hold it in our hearts when stars go out each night, when shadows fill our days. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace. Give us faith so we'll be safe. Then there's a whole bunch of Italian words more. We ask that life be kind and watch us from above. We hope each soul will find another soul to love, just like every child. Need to find a place, guide us with your grace. Give us faith so we'll be safe. It's a prayer for wisdom and guidance and safety and kindness and grace. It's similar to what Jesus was praying in John 17, except he prays for so much more. Jesus is saying this prayer before he leaves his disciples, before he is going to be arrested and crucified. Jesus only was with them for 3 years. All the more reason to pray for them, because much of the time that they spent with Jesus, they were confused. They didn't understand what was happening. They didn't know really who he was, and they had differences amongst themselves. It's obvious that they had differences. Judas, we know, he had deals on the sides. He was interested in rising to power. He was definitely interested in silver. Or how about in Luke chapter 9, where the disciples are saying, well, who's going to be greater in the kingdom, me or him or who? And Jesus says the first will be last and the last will be first. Or how about in Matthew 20, where one of the mothers of the disciples says, oh, can you make sure two of my sons sit close to you in heaven, one on your right, one on your left? Or how about the time when they were disagreeing about, as they were going through the Samaritan village, and as they were trying to prepare the way to go to the village for Jesus, the village rejected them, and they said, Lord, do you want us to just call fire down and destroy them? And Jesus says, you don't know what kind of spirit that is. I didn't come to destroy, but to save. The disciples were all over the place. They were short-term memory or short attention span or scatterbrain, sort of like what I'm feeling right now. As I go through the packing and thinking about housing and dealing with leaving and saying goodbye, it's like that one illustration to where, you know, you come out of the shower and then you remember, oh, I better pick up that dirty shirt. And so you take the dirty shirt, and as you're about to go to put it in the laundry pile, you see a dirty glass on sitting there where it doesn't belong. So you take the dirty glass, and you go to wash it. And right before you're getting to wash the dirty glass, you look outside, and you think, oh, I better water the grass before it gets too hot. So you go and you water the grass, but before you go water and turn on, you see the newspaper there. And say, well, I better pick up that newspaper. So you go and pick up the newspaper and bring it in. And then I open it and you look at the sports page and think, oh, I need a drink. So you go to the refrigerator and get a drink. By that time, your wife is starting to yell at you. And you say, what is it? And she says, can you please pick up that dirty shirt? And when you're done with that, can you go and water the grass? The disciples were distracted. They were quickly knocked off track, and they're self-absorbed with their agendas. And so Jesus has to pray for them. What is he praying for them? Specifically, what he is praying is that they would be able to deal with their loss, that they would be able to handle the grief when he is gone. He prays these things in verse 11, that they become one as he and the Father are one. In other words, he is praying for their unity. In verse 13, that they have joy, the joy of Jesus made full. In verse 15, he is praying that they not be taken out of the world, but kept from the evil one. And then in verse 17, that they are sanctified in truth. So he is praying for unity and joy and protection and sanctification. In times of grief or in times of loss, it's important to be unified and together with other people, because the temptation of grief or loss is to say, I just want to be alone. I'm going to isolate myself, or I'm going to withdraw, or I'm going to just cocoon for a while. Recently, I heard a graduation speech by Naval Admiral William McRaven. He was giving the address at the University of Texas, and McRaven was a Navy SEAL, and he was trying to tell them the 10 things that they had to remember. And one of the examples, he was talking about his training being a Navy SEAL. He said, during training, each of the candidates are assigned a boat crew, 7 of them, 3 on each side of the rubber dinghy, and then one who was steering. And part of their routine each day was to gather at the beach with the dinghy. And then they had to make their way through the surf off of Coronado, and they had to paddle together up the coast. He said in the wintertime, sometimes the surf would get up to 8 to 10 feet. And in order to make it, they had to paddle together and be in sync. And the one who was steering would give the tempo. And if not everyone was exerting the right amount of energy together, the boat could easily be turned over. And the waves and the tides could toss them back to shore, and they had to start all over. In other words, you can't do it alone. Everyone needs help and support and exerting the energy and the effort to have unity. Jesus was also talking about joy, that their joy would be complete as his was. Now, how is it possible to find joy when we're experiencing loss or grief or sadness? When things are coming to an end, or when the bonds are being cut, or when there's great pain? How did Jesus find joy when he was about to be betrayed and arrested and ridiculed and persecuted and crucified? Jesus must have found joy knowing that he was doing God's will. He must have found joy knowing that he was making life better for the long haul. And for the big picture, he must have found joy knowing that his work was about people's destiny and people's eternity for the best, and knowing that he was faithful to God. that he was following God's plan. And he dug deep for that joy because God is a source of joy, and so he was in touch with that joy, the pure and soul fountain of joy which overflows, or which springs up to eternal life, as it says in Scripture. And how to tap into that awesome joy of God, that overarching joy that overrides any kind of momentary or temporary or fleeting or fake joy. In spite of what he was going through, in spite of the fire that he would pass through, he knew that perfect joy awaited him and that it was accessible and it would help him to get through that troubled time. Jesus also prays for protection. The world can eat us up and swallow us up. The world can dish out some violence and victimize us. We saw what happened in Isla Vista. One single soul that is suffering can spread and affect so many and cause great destruction. But Jesus was praying, don't take them out of the world, but give them the resources and the fill their reservoirs so that they're not diminished, so that they're not defeated. Yeah, we may be knocked down and set back, but not defeated. Our task is to face the world with love and light and energy. And we know about Maya Angelou, who recently passed away. She's a great example of not being overcome by the world, as one who experienced rape and teen pregnancy and poverty and segregation. All the while, the shadows of slavery, as black men around her were being lynched and hung, or young boys being whipped, or young girls being ambushed. She withstood the world. She said, shoot me with your words, cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hate, but still, like air, I will rise. She says, to be a rainbow in somebody's cloud, as she was to so many. She was a shining ray that made its way through the storms. Finally, Jesus prays that they be sanctified in truth, meaning sanctified, set apart for the purpose of holiness, of virtue, and healthy living. In other words, living for God's will and God's purpose for wholeness, as we try to deal with the brokenness and to strive for discovery and harmony and justice and righteousness and peace and prosperity according to the ways of God and the kingdom, not according to the ways of the world. Also, there was mention about standing tall and standing out, sort of like a lighthouse that is directing and guiding through the stormy seas of grief and sadness and being lost. So the admiral was talking to the graduates at the University of Texas, and their slogan is, what starts here changes the world. As he was talking to about some 8,000 graduates, he said the average American will meet about 10,000 people in their whole lifetime. So imagine if every one of them changed just 10 people, changed 10 people's lives, and then each of those 10 people changed 10 more and 10 more. And in 125 years, 8,000 of those graduates will have changed 8 million people. That's what Jesus did. He changed the lives of the disciples, who then changed a group of other lives, who then changed more lives up until today, and it's still going strong. Jesus' last prayer was that they get through the loss, that they get through the grief and through the pain, and they stay unified, that they keep their joy as their mainstay, and that they face the world, and through God's grace, they will be protected from being defeated, and that they keep on track, the sanctified track. That was Jesus' last prayer for his disciples. That's my prayer for you. And that's our prayer for each other. Amen.